Well, I wonder if you were up nice and early this morning. I was certainly woken up with messages on my phone, text messages and all these other messages that are coming in from everywhere. London and Manchester, that's the grandchildren. And then Lottie got in on the act and all of a sudden you think, well, I thought being a grandparent, I'd at least have a lie-in. But oh no, you know, these lovely children of ours, these grandchildren, they think, oh, well, we're up at five, we're up at six, so let's see if Bamp is up. And the nan is up, so we'll text them first. So anyhow, I wonder if you are up nice and early. It can be an exciting time, but also it can be a time filled with sorrow. It's a time for many of loss. It's a time for many of filled with uncertainty. I was speaking to someone in the week, and they said to me, if I can just get through Christmas. And maybe some of you feel like that. Maybe those who are watching this morning, some of you feel like, if we can just get through. Someone said to me, if we can just see out this year, surely 2021 can't be any worse than this year. And someone else said to me, all I want to do is go on holiday. I said, well, you can go on holiday. Sure you can. On your own. In the Beacons. Socially distant. And so it's been a tough time, isn't it? But I just want to, and the children very helpfully shared these verses with us, but I want to read them again. They're found in Isaiah 9, verse 6. And the context in which Isaiah was preaching was it was a dark time. It was a time of despair. It was a time when people needed some counsel. They needed some help. They needed direction. And so that's the context in which Isaiah is ministering into. And we read Isaiah 9, verse 6. These are familiar words. So Lord, help us that as we come to these verses, help us to put aside the familiarity and show us something new in your word this morning. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, end of verse 6, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so those are my four points. Those wonderful names. But also, they're not just names attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they tell us something of his role. What he does for you and for me. What he does for his people. An old Puritan, a lesser known Puritan, by the name of Thomas Lye, said this: God often brings his people into such a condition that they don't know what to do. He does this so that they will know what God can do. I'll say that again. God often brings his people into such a condition that they don't know what to do. And God does this so that they can know what he can do. And so here we have in this a lovely chapter. Here we have illumination. The people who were walking in darkness. Now a great light has shone upon them. And that illumination leads to liberation. The captives can be set free. And from illumination to liberation, all these things are there as a celebration, all wrapped up in the incarnation. But here we come to these names And if you like, these roles of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Wonderful counselor. And for us to really grasp what this means, we have to understand that as language changes and evolves, we need to go back to understand the root meaning of the Hebrew word wonderful. You see, words that I used to use in everyday vocabulary when I was a child can no longer be used today because the meaning has changed dramatically. And I think wonderful is one of those words. Another word that has been changed dramatically over the years from its core meaning is awesome. So if we're thinking of the children, they might say, you see your friend in school with a brand new pair of shoes or some new trainers or sneakers or whatever you call them and say, wow, they are awesome. Or you get a new top, you say, wow, that's awesome. Well, I want to tell you, right, it may be brilliant. They may be new and shiny. They may have the label. They may have the design, everything, the color, it fits you. The size is perfect. But it's not awesome. And wonderful is that word that has been distorted and misused, and it's used now in a very casual way. But the root meaning of the Hebrew word wonderful literally means this, that it requires God as an explanation. If something is wonderful, it means it requires God as an explanation. That's why the psalmist would often remind God's people of the wonders that he has done. So when he led the children of Israel across the Red Sea, and so the waters were held back, and allowing them to cross, well, that's a wonder that requires an explanation from God. And when we go into the New Testament, that we see the gospel writers are basically showing something of who Christ is. And he was known to be wonderful. At the age of 12, there he is in the temple. And the teachers and the rabbis were astounded at his knowledge. He was one who possessed wonder. Well, actually, he defines the word wonder because he is wonderful. It requires God as an explanation. That's what wonderful means here in this context. But he's wonderful counselor. And Isaiah is ministering into a people who were looking for counsel. They were looking for guidance. They were looking for help. And sadly, we're told that the people were going to mediums. That they were grappling in the dark and the emptiness and the death. Looking for counsel. Looking for meaning that would give them some sense and purpose in life. But all that does, my friends, is take you deeper into the darkness. There's no answer in the darkness. There's no answer in death. There's no answer in those who offer advice like mediums. But here is the answer. This is God's answer that he provides for us, someone who is described here by Isaiah as wonderful counselor. Go to Isaiah 40. And Isaiah says, well, who can know the mind of God? Who is there anyone there who's able to counsel God? No. And so Christ Jesus is a wonderful counselor. He is someone who is able to speak into your situation, into your heart, into your home. And he is all wise and all knowing. He is wonderful counselor. And then, secondly, we see that he is mighty God. Mighty God. You see, if a counselor has a plan, then there needs to be someone who can execute that plan. And so this wonderful counselor that has a plan is also mighty God, who has the power to execute the plan. Isn't that wonderful? Because Christmas is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies that God has a plan that he devised in eternity past, a plan for people like you and for me. But if, as a wonderful counselor, he has a plan, then there needs to be someone who has the power and might to actually execute that plan. He's mighty God. He's mighty God. And all that he represents is authority. The government is upon his shoulders. He is mighty God. He has all authority. Jesus once said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." There's no higher authority. You know, in the last 40 years, as we've been part of the European Union, or as it was when we went in, it was called the Common Market. If you're a bit older than me, you'd remember the Common Market. And it's been a strange partnership and relationship because we used to think that the High Court in London was the highest authority in the land. But then in our relationship with the EU, then it goes to another court of arbitration, another court for a few human rights. Let me tell you, there's no higher court than Jesus Christ. There's no higher authority than this wonderful counselor because he's mighty God. He's the one who has created all things. He sustains all things. He enables everything to work and to operate and to function. He is enabling your heart to beat even now. He is the one, mighty God, who gives life. Job says that the Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is the one who gives life. My friend, he can give you life that will last forever. But you need to come to him. You need to ask him that to forgive you of your sin. And he will grant you life, abundant life in all its fullness, a life that will last forevermore. He's not just a wonderful counselor. He's not just mighty God. But here, thirdly, we're told that he's everlasting Father. Now, some people get a little bit confused here. This isn't a reference to the first person of the Trinity. This is speaking of Jesus. Jesus is God the Son. He's not the Father. He's never been the Father or never be the Father. So this means something slightly differently. This talks, if the wonderful counselor had a plan, a mighty God is able to execute the plan, and then we need someone who not only executes the plan, but someone who will care for those that the plan is able to bring about. And so we see something of God's paternity. Jesus, he acts and he cares for his people as a gracious Father would. That's what it literally means. So we sometimes sing, you know, Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. He, as a gracious, loving Father, would care for his children, would care for those nearest and dearest to him. And so Jesus not only is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, mighty to save and to save to the uttermost, but he cares for us. An everlasting Father doesn't actually mean here in this context that he's eternal. He is eternal, and Scripture tells us that, but it means that he's eternal in his care that he gives us. The care for his children will last forever. He will continue. He will keep on caring for you and for me. He is indeed the everlasting Father. And then he's described here as Prince of Peace. Fourthly, Prince of Peace. You know, we've heard a lot about peace treaties. We've heard over the years about the Good Friday Agreement. Man longs for peace. Peace in his heart. Peace with his family. Peace with his fellow man. Nations long for peace. But Jesus is the only one who can give true peace. Genuine peace. Authentic peace. He is the Prince of peace. I remember singing as a young boy, "You ask me why I'm happy, and I will tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're covered underneath the blood on the cross at Calvary. And as far, and they've been removed as far as darkness is from dawn." And so those who trust in this wonderful counselor, those who trust in this mighty God, those who know something of him as an everlasting father, will know his peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. The peace of God that transcends all our understanding. That our hearts have been cleansed. Our souls have been cleansed. Our consciences have been cleansed. And I'm clean. And I can lay my weary head on the pillow at the end of a day, knowing that I am safe, knowing that I'm secure, knowing that ultimately I am in the arms of Jesus. And I can live my life with a sense of peace because I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with heaven, not because I deserve it, not because I'm able to manufacture it. It's because he has done it. Those of you who were perhaps big on the Beatles, I married a woman who's big on the Beatles. I didn't quite know the fascination with the Beatles when we first got married, but I do know now. And so this at this point, just to grab her attention, if no one else is, you know, there are those Beatles lyrics that says something like this: "Help, I need somebody, help." And of course, the gospel is one of that we need to recognize that we are people who need help. That Christmas is a reminder to us that God gave us a savior. Why? Because we need saving. Christmas is a reminder that God, in his infinite love for mankind, was willing to do something miraculous and extraordinary because he cares for you and for me. He takes no pleasure, he takes no delight in seeing us trying to grapple with the sinful state of our own hearts. He sees there's no pleasure or delight in seeing us trying to come to terms with the effects of living in a fallen and sinful world. He takes no pleasure. And he longs for you and for me. He longs for men, women, boys and girls to acknowledge their need of salvation. And the whole of Scripture and the whole of the Christmas story and the whole of the Easter story is pointing us to the one who can help us, who can redeem us, who can restore us, who can reconcile us, who can save us, not for time, but for eternity. Look, behold, the one who was born. He was born for you and he was born for me. He was born for us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son has been given. See, God takes the initiative. That's the wonder of Christmas. That's the wonder of salvation. God takes the initiative. God extends his love to you and to me. God extends his mercy to us. God in his grace wants to lift us up from sorrow and shame. God in his grace wants to transform us and to make us into the image, into the likeness of Jesus. God doesn't want us to be grappling in the dark. He wants us to come into the light. He doesn't want us to be dead in our transgressions and sins forever. He wants us to know forgiveness. Total forgiveness. And unless we've discovered Christ, unless we know him, unless we own him, unless we love him, unless we serve him, unless we honor him, you are missing out on life. And the weary world rejoices I'm telling you, there's not much rejoicing in mirth there. I walked around some of the streets yesterday, handed out a few Christmas cards to anyone who knew me, or anyone who admitted to knowing me. Have a card. See, and they're like this. Are you handing me COVID? No, I'm handing you something far more precious. I'm handing you the opportunity that you can know and experience life. Because that's what Jesus offers. This isn't some myth. This isn't some fairy tale. This isn't some story devised over years. This isn't some weird and fanciful tradition. This is reality. I have a friend. He doesn't live very far from here, actually. And he's a pastor of a church. And on his study wall, he has before him every day these words. People who die without Christ go to hell. I remember I sat in his study one day. He was making a cup of tea before lockdown, before all the regulations. I wasn't breaking the law. Not then, anyhow. And I sat there and I said, that stares you in the face every day. He said, Andy, even as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be reminded daily that people who don't know Christ and people who die without knowing Christ go to a lost eternity, go to hell, where the judgment of God will be upon them forever. So look beyond the tinsel and the turkey. Look beyond, if you like, the presents. Look beyond all that you've made Christmas to be. And see the one who is the reason for Christmas. And I think, in a strange way, whilst everyone is saying, oh, this Christmas is going to be terrible, because this Christmas is actually not going to be like other Christmases. In a strange way, I think that's good. Because actually, everything else has been stripped away. People can't go to their parties. People can't go to their families and friends. People can't do what they would normally do. And so what are we left with? Well, today, the only place you can actually go to is a place of worship in Wales today. It's sad that not many more choose to come. But in these moments, everything's been stripped away. And we are left being presented with a Saviour who is indeed a wonderful Counsellor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who is he? Many people have asked that question over the years. Even the disciples themselves asked, who is he? Who is he that even the winds and the waves obey him? Who is he? Mighty God. And all the religious leaders, who is he? Wonderful Counselor. And the kings and the queens and the princes, who is he? Prince of Peace. And the orphans and the widows and the blind and the sick. Who is he? Everlasting Father. Someone who will care for you for all eternity. Friend, you know him. I'm not asking you to think about him and then go and have your turkey or your goose or whatever you eat. I'm asking you, do you know him? Can you say, he is my Lord? He is my God. He is my Saviour. Perhaps you sat at home thinking, well, I'd love to know him in a personal way. I'd love to know him as my Lord and my God and my Saviour. I don't know what to do. That's a good question. What must you do? You must sit quietly where you are And in this moment that God allows you, cry to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will hear. And ask him to forgive you, to restore you, to save you, and to care for you. He will, because he's mighty God. He will lead you throughout life, because he's a wonderful counselor. He will care for you, because he's everlasting Father. And you'll have something that no amount of money can buy. He will grant you his peace. Not just for today, not just for Christmas, but for the rest of your life and into eternity. What must I do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Ask him to save you. He can. And he will. And then it will truly be a blessed and happy Christmas. Well, we're going to sing as we close.